Apostasy and Intercession, Commentary for the September 13th, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. The Lord saw how great wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Genesis 6, verse 5. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew 24, verse 37. For the over half a century that I have been a Seventh-day Adventist, I have been aware that Adventists have claimed the United States is prophetically depicted in Revelation chapter 13. The lamb-like beast with two horns in verse 11 is said to be the United States with certain peculiar features that seem to fit. Uriah Smith, in his book Daniel and the Revelation, writing during a time when the persecutions of Protestants in Europe were fresh in memory, and Catholic immigrants, especially from Ireland, were seen as a threat to an America founded upon Protestant principles, saw the United States as a champion of freedom of religion. He saw the fact that the two-horned beast came out of the earth instead of the sea as one of the essential identifiers. The previous beast in Revelation arising from the sea was said to be arising from established populated lands, for Revelation gives this prophetic meaning to waters. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw, where the prostitute sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages." Revelation 17, verse 15. Consequently, Smith felt that a beast arising from the earth would represent an area relatively devoid of people. While Native Americans may dispute his point, he saw this as an attribute of the new nation, the United States of America. Another identifier was the two horns. Repeatedly in the prophecies of Daniel, horns represent power, and often rapidly ascending power. They are associated with the rise of Alexander in Greece, the Roman Empire, and the rise of another power that displaced other horns as Roman power waned to usurp their power as its own. The limitations of this commentary do not allow delving in depth with these other prophecies. It suffices only to say that Uriah Smith saw the two horns of the lamb-like beast as indicative of the beast's power. Since the United States was founded with a new form of government, based on a constitution devised by the people, he saw the two horns as representing the civil and religious liberties enshrined in that document. But despite that basis, the lamb-like beast would become dragon-like over time, repudiating those very principles that made it unique. The United States that presented itself as a paragon of liberty and equality would sacrifice those qualities on the pyre where raw power is worshipped. Offering their patriotic children to Moloch, the sons of liberty were to perish in the burning hands of an idol to power, a sacrifice that had never entered the mind of God to demand, according to Jeremiah 32, verse 35. What had been Ronald Reagan's shining city on a hill was to become a charnel house of corruption and death to the world. In all fairness, this dark picture did not begin with the United States. Cain was the first murderer when he slew his brother Abel, who was more righteous than he. While a righteous person lives, their lives are a rebuke to evil, announcing to the world that we do not have to forsake righteousness in the face of evil. Evil people, therefore, seek to end the lives of the righteous, to vainly silence their conscience, where the Holy Spirit reminds them of their evil, not to condemn them, but to lead them to repentance. As evil abounds, so does murder, corruption, and every vileness that loves darkness more than light. As with Cain, when humanity turns from God, evil is not far off. The heat of its breath on our heels inflames the passions and leads to fear and death. The beacon of light lit by the United States becomes ever fainter, and the dragon-like roar ever louder as evil has its way. The Bible tells us that love will be in danger of dying out as, like Cain, each seeks their own interest at the expense of all others. The only answer to that is to remain in relationship with God, who will seek to restore in us the image we are created to bear, His image, the image of love, according to Genesis 1 verse 27 and 1 John 4:8. How is this so? Fear is of the dark. Those who remember the Star Wars movies remember that fear was a basis for recruiting others to the dark side of the Force. In this, the movies got it right. So many see the evil around them and believe that the only way to manage the fear is to be meaner, tougher, and more willing to inflict damage on others, as Cain did to Abel. From Rambo to Jack Reacher, we have had this satanic homily preached at us continually for our entire lives. Little wonder, then, that gun sales are at an all-time high, and that murder stalks our public places with insane fervor. Fear is so great that love seems to no longer exist. But the light is still there. As Mr. Rogers used to say, look for the helpers. The only thing capable of driving back the darkness is light, and the darkness cannot endure before even the smallest light of love. Several times since Cain murdered Abel, this has been forgotten. It was forgotten before the Noahic flood. It was forgotten during the 400 years of Israel's exile in Egypt. It was forgotten when the Jewish nation became eviler than those around it and fell to Babylon. King Manasseh in Judah was said to have filled Jerusalem with blood from one end to the other, according to 2 Kings 21, verse 16. While we like to think that we are more evolved, smarter than that, the Bible says otherwise. As in our opening verses, the evil that abounded in Noah's day will abound again. But we cannot withdraw in the face of that evil. Jesus told us we were not to hide our light, our love, under a basket, but to shine that light of love openly. In doing so, we bear witness to the true character of God. Humanity has mostly forgotten His character, and He is represented as being wrathful and unloving. This, perversely, is an attempt to justify our own wickedness. God created us in His loving image, and we have repaid Him by casting God in our own hateful image. Then who can blame us if we also hate, for we were created in His image? This kind of logic seems popular now, as so much evil is justified like this, even by those purported to be the children of God. Even in apostolic times during the first century, such false and perverted godliness was rearing its ugly head. Paul wrote to Timothy, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people." 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. We see such people on the streaming news channels wearing their little gold crosses as though it is the only way to tell they are Christian. They are unaware that the love of God shines out from the eyes, which are gateways to the heart, and not from the glint of gold. Paul also wrote to the believers in Corinth, warning of such false Christians who were worming their way into positions of authority in the church. He said of them, "Such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. Since the end of such evil is already determined, the Apostle Peter's question hits home. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? 2 Peter 3, verses 11 and 12. The Israelites let their fears run away with them in the wilderness while following Moses to the land of Canaan. Muttering and grumbling about their fears constantly, though God never ceased to provide for them. Jesus tried to remind us that God is our sure support, and we should trust Him. He said, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. As King David the psalmist said, "I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." Psalm 37, verse 25. We place our hope in humanity for our sustenance, but Jesus told us to trust in God. In that we find faith. Otherwise, we find fear that humanity will fail us, and rightly so, for their fear echoes our own and cannot deliver us when they cannot deliver themselves. God alone has the desire and the ability. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find links to other articles and to books written by the author. Once again, that website is www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.